Hello again, my moon dancers, and welcome to the next thrilling installment of my exciting adventures. My tour of the United States continues, and having experienced the adventure that is riding the bus, I decided that there was no way in heaven or hell that I would ever get on one again, so this time I flew, and the experience was very different. I have rarely been on an aeroplane. Flights within a country, that's a new thing to me, but your country is so bloody enormous anyway. I suppose it's really the most effective way of getting around. Your rail transport system isn't what it should be, and unless you want to drive, which most people seem to do, I think it's something I've said before, that to me it would seem that if you do not have a car in the United States, you can't do anything. You're very much a second-class citizen. Your country is not built for pedestrians. It's a car or a horse, I suppose, in some parts of the country. I think I would prefer the car, or maybe a motorbike. I grew up amongst motorbikes. There's something for my next trip to the US. An epic road trip on a Harley Davidson. Oh, God, now I do sound like a middle-aged... I'll be buying a bloody leather jacket next, won't I? Oh, no, truth be told, I've already got three. So, I flew. Yes, I did. And a relaxing experience. I got talking to a very friendly stewardess. If only there had been time. I had to drop her off in South Carolina, unfortunately. Ohio to Carolina to Nashville. It's, I was going sort of by the roundabout route, I suppose. I landed in Nashville, got to my Airbnb. After the Airbnb experience in New Jersey, God, Bill's place was bloody awful. I don't quite know what I was expecting, but I was pleasantly surprised. The chap who owned it welcomed me in. We had a long conversation about Nashville. He was a native. He lived there all his life. He introduced me to his dog, Flegel. A pit bull cross. So if you imagine a pit bull with really long legs waddling up to you, tail wagging, he took one sniff of my hand and just dismissed me like that. I think he was expecting me to have treats, but you can't win them all, can you, Flegel? I settled in. It was a comfortable place to stay, and I was meeting up with another couple of GW friends. That day, she and I took a trip to a place called the Yeehaw Brewery. Now, there's a name to conjure with, isn't it? I have been pleasantly surprised by some of your American brews since the last time I was resident in the US many years ago. Beer has improved a lot. That was certainly the case in Florida. A lot of microbreweries, some very good craft beers. But I was anxious to have a taste of genuine bourbon. Well, I didn't get genuine bourbon here. What I did get at the Yeehaw Brewery was moonshine. Something I didn't know about the area is that during Prohibition, the moonshiners used to run their illicit alcohol up to the north. And this brewery, it's a bar, and you'll see from some of the pictures I've posted, there are walls, ceiling to floor, full of different specialty flavored moonshines. So to do the tasting, you get a little shot glass and you get 10 samples. We started off with one called Blue Flame, which I love blue drinks for some reason. I just think they're dangerous. And this one was bloody lethal. He filled my shot glass and I downed it in one, as you do. It wasn't much of a taste, it was okay. And then I discovered that it was called Blue Flame for a reason. It starts burning 70% alcohol. We're talking rocket fuel here. You could use it for fire play. I know how to hold my liquor, but I was beginning to feel it after a few of these. I can't even remember some of the names, but there was one that was caramel flavoured, which was pretty good. There was one apple pie flavoured. He brought out some pickled gherkins, pickles, that if you'd had these on your salad, oh dear. And I enjoyed it immensely. I think my friend was kind of gearing towards having had enough by about the fourth or fifth. Me, once I get going, there's no stopping me. Once we were fully fortified, we decided to set off for a little tour of some of the museums and art galleries there. Beautiful, particularly Native American art. Some of the clothes and costumes that we saw, you know, would grace any New Orleans Mardi Gras, or certainly make for an interesting statement the next time you had a cocktail party. It's something that I don't think many people would associate Nashville with. Music, yes, but art, I don't know. You'll have to tell me that, perhaps. What is the artistic scene like in your particular part of the country? Certainly, I'm rather spoiled when it comes to art and architecture. Even in my part of England, we have our own art galleries, and there are some quite extensive and rich collections there. In America, I suppose once you get out of New York, it depends. I would like to know your thoughts on that. Are there some hidden gems somewhere in the middle of Wisconsin or Idaho? I don't know. So where did I go from then? Well, the next day, I was only staying there for 3 days, a rather short flying visit. The next day I met up with another friend, and we went on a trip to the Grand Ole Opry. I have an eclectic sense of music. I like what I like, and I don't particularly follow any one style. But country music, it is a very acquired taste. There are, however, some country music performers that stand out for me. Johnny Cash being one of them. A big fan of some of his records. The album that he did from the prison. Boy Named Sue is one of my favourite songs. And obviously Walk the Line. So I got the tour of the Grand Ole Opry. I've again put up some photographs for you to have a look at. Interesting to note the post office of the Grand Ole Opry. These little letterboxes where you can write to various performers. Dolly Parton's number is 162, in case you needed it. I got to see some of the dressing rooms and hear a few of the stories that were told about the place. Being a bit of an Elvis fan when I was younger, I pricked up my ears a little bit when our guide was telling us about Elvis. She said, "Have we got any Elvis fans in the place?" And I raised my hand, as you do. And she said, "We'll block your ears. You won't like what I'm about to say." Elvis only played at the Grand Ole Opry once in his career, and it was a complete and utter disaster. He had the night from hell that I suppose all performers dread. After that, he wouldn't perform again. The jury is out as to whether or not Elvis never wanted to perform there, or the Grand Ole Opry never wanted him back. I wonder how many places can say that. No, sorry, Mr. Presley, you're just not good enough. Moving on, I got my photograph taken on the circle stage, you know, the hallowed ground of country music. It was a bit of an emotional experience for my friend. They played a few songs and brought back a lot of memories from her childhood, particularly relating to her mother, and she got a little emotional at times. But that's the effect that places can have on you. You know, some of these places are so ingrained in our psyche, they become part of us, part of our life story. And you know, when you walk the streets of a place you'd always dreamed of being, I'm getting that feeling now in New Orleans. I got the same feeling when I was in New York. Places that I had heard about ever since I was a young child, and to actually be there, standing on those streets. Quite amazing. Everyone should do that once. I know you've probably heard many times the old saying that travel broadens the mind. Well, it does. And everyone should experience that. So what's stopping you? Anyway, after that, my last evening there, I headed for a place called the Rainbow Room on Skull Street. That's an address, isn't it? Straight out of Harry Potter. I'm going to the Rainbow Room on Skull Street for some jazz. Well, you have to, really. When you're in Nashville, you've got to hear some music, and I like my jazz. I ran into a delightful old couple there from New York, and we got to discussing the difference between Southern jazz and New York jazz, which is more swing-based, leaning towards the kind of style that you might associate with, Frank Sinatra in many respects. It was a beautiful night. Not much going on. I had a long conversation with the girl behind the bar. Very, very delightful young lady. And it was such a shame that her evening off was the next day. God, Mooney, do you ever switch off? Yeah, well, following that, as serendipity happens, I got back to my room and a bit of a high. There was a buzz going on. I was whistling a happy tune, and then I decided to just trawl through GWA. I haven't been doing that a lot, but I thought that night I'd give it a go, and I came across an audio which a friend had posted about her meeting someone in a jazz club. It couldn't have been better way to end an evening. A wonderful little fantasy brought to reality. Imagining myself back in that jazz club in the company of a very attractive young lady. My oh my. Moving on, because this is such a short recording, I'm going to try and kill two birds with one stone and tell you about my trip to Texas. I flew again. It was so much better. I know it's more expensive than taking the bus, but it's still reasonable. You know, it's not going to break the bank to take a flight, and you have so much more comfort. It's so much less hassle, and you can actually see from the airplane if you want to. But again, I got talking to this very charming lady sat next to me who wrote stories, and we talked about the different ins and outs of plotting stories together. She wrote for children, which was interesting. I even got her email details, so I'll be able to catch up on some of the stories that she's been writing. When I got to Kima, well, there was a lot of rain. And this was my first experience of hailstones the size of golf balls. And I am not joking. They were bloody enormous. It was a flash flood, kind of like just huge balls of ice coming out of the sky. And then gone. Clear skies again. I was meeting up with another couple of friends. And we went to Galveston, which is the, if you don't know, it's an island renowned for all kinds of naughty goings on during the Prohibition period, and various nefarious activities, such as the Red Light District. Absolutely terrible. Mm. As soon as I found out where it was, I wanted to go. Unfortunately, the Red Light District closed down in the early 1920s, but they do a wonderful tour. The tour guide will take you around the different sites where the brothels and the speakeasies were, and sort of immerse you in a murky world of gangsters and their moles. It's well worth doing if you like your history and you like your storytelling. Something like that can bring a place to life. It's the secret history that you don't hear of in school. I spent most of my time at a place called Kima, which is just across the river from Galveston on the Gulf Coast, about 20 miles or so from Houston. Lovely little place. You know, it's got gorgeous waterfront, an old-fashioned carnival, you know, Ferris wheels, rides, the pier stretching out towards the water, a wooden roller coaster, yes, a wooden roller coaster, the Silver Bullet. I might have plucked up the courage to go on it, but it just looked like it was going to fall down any minute. You wait until you see the photograph. They cranked this ancient beast up for two girls who wanted to ride on it. And the screams were just, they weren't screams of delight. I think they were absolute terror. Which made it fun listening to them. The place came alive at night. The weekend it was busy. There weren't many people there during midweek, but that just made it a little bit more cozy. These hidden little alcoves, lots of water, fountains, coloured lights, like fairy lights. It was almost like a little grotto. Reminded me somewhat of Avatar, the movie. You know, all these different coloured plants where the lights were shining on them. Music playing in the background, being piped out. A lovely place just to sit and watch and think. I had some delicious meals there. A hot pot, which crab, lo- lobster tails, sausage. I'd never thought about putting sausage with seafood before, but apparently it's a local delicacy. Yeah, and there was a hunter's moon that night. Beautiful, bright moonshine down by the boardwalk. I got a picture of it. And my friend and I walked along the pier, arm in arm, just looking out to sea. As someone who lives on an island, the sea has a significance to me. Wherever you go in my country, you are never more than 4 hours away from the coast in whichever direction you turn, right in the geographical center. So, the ocean calls to Englishmen. It was a beautiful night. And I took her in my arms and asked for the pleasure of this dance. And on the pier, in full view of any passers-by, we moondanced. And I don't know whether or not she was embarrassed by it, but sometimes in life you have to do the things that make you smile. And looking into her eyes as the stars were reflected there, looking at that little cheeky smile, I couldn't do anything else other than ask her to dance with me, could I? That was pretty much it. I didn't do a great deal in Texas, nowhere near what I wanted to do because of a slight emergency. My credit card was declined at the hotel that I was staying at, so I had to pay by cash. And I was really worried about this. I thought, I couldn't have miscalculated. Yes, I know this trip's more expensive than I thought it was going to do, but I couldn't have been off by that much. After a few very frantic phone calls home, getting a friend to transfer some spare cash that I had from one account to another, it turned out to be some kind of problem with international checking. There wasn't a problem with it. I really had more money in my account than I thought I did. I don't trust online banking, so I couldn't get online, which meant that I missed out on doing a few things that I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the Space Center, for example, but didn't want to risk spending all of my money on that and not being able to get a flight back home. Oh, the good news is I do have my ticket back. I'm flying out directly from New Orleans via Boston. So if anyone happens to be in Boston, I have 4.5 hours to kill, and I don't know what there is to do near Boston Airport for 4.5 hours. But if you can think of something, I would be grateful if you could let me know. I would say that Texas had been a bit of a disappointment to me. But it wasn't. I was lucky enough to meet up with some very, very special people. And I learned a valuable lesson. When you go somewhere new, yes, it might be exciting. Yes, you might see and do new things, but quite often it is the people that you're with that make the place special. Something to remember. Then I moved on for the final leg of my journey to save the best for last, New Orleans. I know it was probably a very stupid thing to do, but I decided a 6-hour bus journey. I could do 6 hours on a bus, couldn't I? Oh, you silly boy. The bus broke down somewhere between Lafayette and Baton Rouge, and a 6-hour journey ended up taking 10 hours. We were stuck on a coach with no power, in the middle of the interstate, blacked out, and I'm thinking, all it's going to take is for one driver coming up behind us to not be paying attention, and we're going to be steamrolling, aren't we? We couldn't get off because there was traffic going past at 50, 60 miles an hour. And we had this one gentleman on board. Yeah, there has to be one, doesn't there? He was a recently released convict, as he kept telling everybody. I just got out of prison yesterday, wandering up and down the bus, telling everybody he just got out of prison. I'm not sure why. Perhaps he felt it was some kind of badge of honor. And blaming the devil for all of his woes. It was obviously the devil who had caused the bus to break down, and we all had to repent our sins, otherwise the bus wouldn't start again. He managed to con this woman out of some of her lunch. I think she gave him a sandwich to shut him up. He began walking up and down the bus, asking anyone if they had a dollar for lunch. And he came up to me and asked me that question. Have you got a dollar? And I was feeling in a funny mood. I was a bit irritable. So I replied, yes, I do. Thank you very much. And I'm keeping it. He looked at me in a funny way. I think he was trying to process what just had happened and then walked off. When the bus finally got going again and we arrived in New Orleans, he threw his hands up in the air and shouted, praise the Lord. Yes, well, I know what you mean. I was eternally grateful to get off of that bloody bus.